Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about chronic wasting disease in Libby, the environmental cleanup of developed mining sites, and the audit dispute at the Capitol on start of legislative week. It's Tuesday, January 14th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Former Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has closed his congressional campaign account and given nearly all the fundraising cash that was left to a charitable foundation he started and his wife runs. Federal Election Commission reports show that Zinke, a former Republican U.S. representative from Montana, terminated his campaign account earlier this month. The last transaction is December 8th, payment of $11,594 to the Great Northern Foundation. Zinke founded that nonprofit organization to maintain a park in Whitefish, Montana. Zinke said yesterday that he's not worried about the appearance of giving his campaign funds to the foundation because, quote, you do right and fear no one, unquote. 13% of white-tailed deer in Libby could be infected with chronic wasting disease. That's the highest prevalence rate in the state. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says sampling efforts this fall were able to determine that prevalence is almost three times the agency's threshold for more aggressive management actions. FWP has already been trapping deer in town in an effort to reduce deer numbers that could fuel the disease's spread. The agency now hopes to get permission from the State Wildlife Commission to sell an unlimited number of B white-tailed deer tags in order to increase harvest outside of town in the coming years. FWP's Neil Anderson says the disease is much less common just outside of town and that it will be up to the city to manage deer numbers within city limits.
We'll try to work with them to the best of our abilities on how to conduct the operations of that plan. So I think there's a lot of those details that haven't been figured out yet.
Libby City Manager Jim Hammond says he isn't surprised by the high prevalence rate in town. He says there's lots of food sources like fruit trees and few predators to keep the herd in check. That overpopulation in deer, Hammond says, is increasing the disease's spread.
I know that there was people that had felt that there was something going on around here with the deer population. That, you know, they called them zombie deer over the years.
Hammond says the city council is working on a management plan, but it could be some time before it's hammered out. It's unclear whether the city will adopt FWP's approach of trapping and euthanizing deer in town, or if it might take a more aggressive approach. Matt Dunphy with the national group CWD Alliance says urban settings can leave few options to reduce deer numbers.
When you add in small plot sizes of backyards, deer that are very used to humans, deer that can escape easy, the issues of trying to get permission to take deer or manipulate the habitat, yes, it makes all of our management techniques much more difficult.
City officials in Libby will meet later this week to review what other cities around the country have done. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A statewide campaign working to legalize, regulate, and tax marijuana submitted two proposed 2020 ballot initiatives for state review yesterday. According to the initiative backers, the first ballot proposal would legalize marijuana in Montana for adults. In a press release, they say it would also establish a regulatory framework for pot cultivation and sales, including a 20% sales tax on marijuana, and would reduce the tax on medical marijuana from 2% to 1%. The second proposed ballot initiative is a constitutional amendment restricting marijuana consumption to people 21 or older. The state-based group New Approach Montana delivered the initiatives to the Secretary of State and the Legislative Services Division yesterday. That starts a review process by the Montana Attorney General and the Governor's Budget Director. If the petition language is approved, the group must gather over 25,000 signatures to qualify the statutory initiative for the 2020 ballot and almost 51,000 signatures to qualify the constitutional initiative. Those signatures would need to be submitted by June. An environmental advocacy group released a report last week arguing that the coal industry may crash and leave the public with the financial burden of the environmental cleanup of developed mining sites. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Federal law requires that companies put bonds into place to ensure there's money to clean up land, restore water quality, and plant permanent vegetation when companies are done operating on properties. In its 41-page report, the Western Organization of Resource Councils, or WORC, examines the possibility of reclamation of coal mines falling to state and federal regulators, or in some states, taxpayers, if the corporations don't put money aside with surety companies. Report author Dan Cohn with WORC says while historically taxpayers have not had to pay for such a thing in Montana,
past experience won't necessarily be a good guide for the future.
The report assumes a decline of the coal industry in light of recent major bankruptcies and state regulations favoring renewable energy over coal-fired power. According to federal law, the state or federal government, or both, may seize funds and cover reclamation themselves if a company goes bankrupt and fails to sell the land to another buyer. If there aren't enough funds available for cleanup, a surety company pays the sum to the regulator. But one of the major points of concern for WORC, according to its report, is self-bonding. That's a form of IOU, where a company in good financial standing forgoes surety bonding and instead promises to pay the cost of reclamation. Joe Micheletti is chief operating officer of the Westmoreland Mine Company, which runs through mines in Montana. He points out that while self-bonding is allowed in some states, like Wyoming and North Dakota, it's not permitted in Montana.
The guidelines and the rules and policies of the Montana DEQ are strict. They're as strict as there are in the country, in my mind, and that our operating permits require that we stay compliant and stay compliant with contemporaneous reclamation.
In the case of self-bonding, reclamation costs might fall to taxpayers or landowners if a company goes bankrupt and no funds are available. To avoid this, the WORC report advises regulators to get rid of self-bonding entirely. The report also suggests ways of making sure that funding is reliably sourced and companies don't sit on unreclaimed land, but instead reclaim it while operations are ongoing. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana lawmakers are meeting in the state capitol this week for an unusual gathering to study budget, tax, and policy trends. The week will include debate about moving the state towards annual legislative sessions. Montana Public Radio's Corn Cates Carney reports.
The legislative week is giving lawmakers training and deep dives on tax policy and government trends that time wouldn't allow during the state's biennial legislative sessions. Lawmakers' work week will include briefings questioning if the state's current tax structure needs to change to keep up with Montana's changing economy. No policy is expected to be passed this week because lawmakers are not in session, but legislators are expected to talk about the merits of moving toward annual legislative sessions and other potential changes to the legislative process. The public will have a chance to weigh in on lawmakers' study of that issue Tuesday morning. A last-minute addition to the legislative week is a checkup on an ongoing disagreement between the governor's office and legislative auditors. The governor's office says $80 million in state infrastructure projects are on hold because of an audit showing potential significant errors in Montana's Medicaid system. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana's legislative auditor is pushing back against the governor's office's public criticism of an unpublished report on the state health department. The administration says the details are holding up $80 million in infrastructure projects. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports lawmakers were briefed on the brewing controversy on the kickoff of legislative week.
A memo from Legislative Auditor Angus MacGyver stresses that the study of Montana's Medicaid system is not final and might not be presented to lawmakers until April. On Monday, he told lawmakers the governor's office has not seen the full report, and public statements by the administration staff show an incomplete understanding of audit requirements. And, he says, the administration doesn't need to agree with the audit division's findings to sell bonds to fund the infrastructure projects.
The governor's office, they have always been in a position to say that they don't agree with how we're doing it or what we're finding.
Last week, the governor's office raised concerns about the auditor's work, questioning methods used to determine that the state may owe the federal government up to $130 million because of a Medicaid system error. That analysis showing potential impact to state finances, the governor's office says, is halting the sale of state bonds. MacGyver declined to expand on the issue last week, saying the Legislative Audit Division doesn't comment on unpublished reports. In his memo to lawmakers, MacGyver says the governor's office and the state health department may be threatening the Legislative Audit Division's ethical standards of independence by their recent actions. Governor's Office Budget Director Tom Livers says the administration is trying to trace the logic of the auditor's upcoming report.
I don't see the logic. We don't. It's not there. Give us some information that supports why you're reaching these conclusions. I don't think that questioning is undue influence.
Ahead of the lawmaker briefing Monday afternoon, the governor's office printed and placed a large map of Montana in their wing of the state capitol. On it, like polka dots, are the $80 million worth of infrastructure projects scattered around the state, which the governor's office says are in jeopardy because of the ongoing audit dispute and its reported potential impact on state finances. Budget Director Livers says the administration has talked with financial advisors about the impact of selling state bonds, with a note indicating the potential risks raised by legislative auditors.
But the real test is going to be, we'll set up meetings with the ratings agencies, the bond rating agencies. We'll do that ahead of a bond issuance, and we'll see if this issue impacts Montana's AA plus bond rating. And that'll be the first barometer we get of whether this is going to be, how costly this might be.
Several Democratic lawmakers Monday questioned the auditor on how an unpublished report, which neither legislators nor the governor's office have read, could already be having financial ripples in the state. Legislative Auditor MacGyver says the division needed to update other state financial analyses based on its initial state health department findings, even when that specific report was not yet complete. I'm Corton Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.